Let's open our Bibles in Psalm 126. Psalm 126, and the Lord has directed my attention to this passage of God's precious word. And I want us to open the scriptures. We'll read it together. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity of coming and sharing with you this Sabbath morning. And we bring the greetings from our Macrophel congregation. We pray that God will bless and undertake even through the ministry of God's precious and God's holy word. Psalm 126. When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And God will indeed add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his holy word, even in this psalm this morning. When you study the book of the Psalms, you'll find that there are psalms that are called the Songs of Degrees. And it is believed that the Jewish pilgrims, on their way to Jerusalem, as they would attend the festival days there, they would sing these Songs of Degrees as they went along and as they made their way to go up to Jerusalem. And you know, no matter what part of the land of Israel you were in, you would have to go up to Jerusalem. Geographically, they would go up to that city of Jerusalem. And as they would move forward, and they would sing these songs at places that were designated along the way. And friends, this morning, as you and I, that those who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that as we travel to glory, that we will have a heart that is filled with the songs of the Lord. You know, that's something that God needs to give back to his people. God needs to give back to something that they've lost. I believe that many of God's children have lost their song. Many of God's people have lost their joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, whenever God saves us, that is only the start of the pathway for the people of God. Whenever God saved me, it wasn't the end of the journey. It was only the start of the journey, as I would make my way to heaven and make my way onward to home. But thank God, as we have headed toward home and as we're headed to glory, thank God for the joy that's in our hearts. What the Bible says, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I wonder this morning, are you a joyful Christian? Are you happy in the Lord? Are you happy in serving Christ this morning? I know that we have lived through difficult days. I know that we have walked through deep waters and we have had valley experiences. But the Lord hasn't changed in any of that. Then let me tell you, the Lord is still the same Lord. God is still on the throne. People say to me, in the midst of tragedies and disasters and troubles, even in the work of God, and says, well, where's the Lord in this preacher? I'll tell you where he is. Where he always is. He's on the throne. And friend, get your eyes toward heaven today. It says here in the Psalms, it says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them the dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongues with singing. Then I tell you this, I remember in the early days of the Free Church, and while we were battling and people despised us and people cursed us and they maligned us, they did all of those things. But I tell you, when you came amongst the family of God in the Free Church, they were a happy people. They were a joyful people. My, whenever you were among them, you could hear them laugh and you could hear them. My, when it come to singing, there was nobody could sing like us, because there was a joy and there was a song in our hearts. Friend, that's what we need to get back again. And brethren and sisters and martyrs, I'll tell you this. I know that we've been through deep trials and troubles, but I'll tell you this. God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. His promise is true. He will not forget you, hallelujah. For God is still on the throne. You see, there was a cause for rejoicing here. There was a cause for rejoicing. They had left Babylon behind, praise the Lord. They had made their way back to Jerusalem. And my God had delivered them, and God had liberated them. God had turned away the captivity. You know, they asked them when they were in bondage, they said, sing us one of your songs. And they said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? No, friend, it's not a strange land anymore. Praise God, they headed to home. They headed back to the city of Jerusalem. And praise the Lord, it says, our mouth was filled with laughter, and our tongue was singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord had done great things for them. Even the ungodly had to say, you know, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for them. Oh, that the world would look upon us again and say, you know, there's something different about those Free Presbyterians. There's a joy in their heart. My, there's a joy in their soul. There's a song in their soul. The soul set free. My, the Lord has done great things for them. And then it says this, the Lord has done great things for us. We're offward lad. Friend, I can tell you this, we can look back in days that are past and we can honestly say before God, listen, we have cause for rejoicing. For the Lord has done great things for us. I look back and I thank God for the way the Lord has led me and the Lord has guided. And I can only but say, to God be the glory, great things He hath done. I sing because I'm happy. And I sing because I'm free. Because He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. There's the cause for rejoicing. But then look at verse number 4. There is the call for reviving. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Friend, I can tell you this. One thing when they got back to Jerusalem, but I'll tell you, everything wasn't great there. Because the walls had been pulled down. And the temple had been destroyed, and there was rubbish and there was rubble all around. But they were back in the land of their fathers. They were back in the land of promise. And they knew there was a need for God's reviving. And they said, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Friend, Ulster needs a reviving. This United Kingdom of ours needs revival. I tell you, we don't need to cross the water. Ulster needs revival. Tell you something else, and so do we. So do we. The Free Church needs a stirring of God. And I can tell you, nothing else will suffice. Nothing else will substitute for a reviving of the Spirit of the Lord. That's why we sang in our opening hymn, revive thy work, O Lord. This is thy work. Thy mighty arm make bare. Speak with a voice that wakes the dead. Oh God, take away the sleep from off our eyes and the old coldness and deadness that has come amongst our people. Many come to God's house, my friend, and it seems to be they come. And sometimes you wonder why they come, because they've lost the fire and the zeal and the hunger for the Word of God. I remember in the early days of the church, let me tell you, people were coming and they were sitting and their mouths were opening. Do you know what? Their mouths, they want to be fed. They wanted to be fed from the Word. They wanted to drink in the Word of God. And my, whenever the Word of God was spoken and they left the house of God, my, there was a lilt to their step because they had got food for their soul. And they were going out blessed in their soul. Is that the way you leave God's house, friend? That way you leave God's house blessed in your soul. Can you honestly say before God, listen, it was good for us to be here. It was good for me to be here. Lord, I'm glad I was in the house of God today. I was glad I was among the people of God. I'd rather be there than any place else in the world. House of the Lord. And so, friends, there's a call for a reviving. But then there is the condition for reaping. Let's go to verses 5 and 6, and that's where I want us to dwell this morning. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. We sing the wee hymn, you know, bringing in the sheaves, and we want to bring in the sheaves for the Lord, don't we? Friend, to do that, there's the conditions of reaping. And that's sometimes where we close off. There's the conditions of reaping. First of all, notice the going here. As he's, verse 6, he that goeth and weepeth bearing precious seed. And the picture here, and I was brought up on the farm. And the picture here was of the old farmer in the East. And he had a bag over his shoulder, and the bag was filled with seed. And he'd walk up and down the field, just scattering the seed. But notice what he was doing, friend. It says, he that goeth forth bearing precious seed. And so here we see an assignment. He has to go forward. It says, he that goeth forth. He's moving forward. Is that the way the work of God's going here, friend? Is that the way the work of God's going forward in the free church? Are we going forward? For if we're not, we're going back. God's people need to get the vision again. We need to catch a vision of going forward. Brethren and sisters, let me tell you this. The Lord Jesus is coming again, and we want to be working when the Savior comes. We want to be at His service of the Master. Here's the assignment. He's going, and He's bearing precious seed. You know, as He goes out and sows that seed, friend, there's a hope there. There's an expectation of a harvest. Many have lost that. Many of God's people have lost that, the expectation of the harvest. Because let's be honest, friend. Yes, you're sowing the seed. But do you expect anything to happen? Do you expect God to bless His word and God to use His word? You see, there's a going here, going forth, and the word there means a going to and fro. Going to and fro. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28, verse 19, it says, go ye and teach all nations. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Or make disciples of all nations. And the original there is, go ye. It is, as you are going, make disciples of all nations. In other words, taking the seed everywhere. Everywhere you go, you carry the seed. The purpose is planting the seed. But you see, friend, there's an attitude here. Planting the seed, expecting the harvest. Some years ago, there was a young man was sent across to Africa. And he was sent on a journey to Africa, and it was a shoe company that sent him to Africa. And whenever he got there, he was only there a short time, and he noticed that nobody was wearing shoes. So he thought to himself, you know, there's a waste of time. And so therefore he wrote back to the company. And he asked, he sent the telegram, and just after a few weeks, and he says, you know, nobody wears shoes. I'm coming home. And so he did. And then they sent out another representative to Africa for that same company. And whenever he went, he saw that there was nobody wearing shoes, but he had a different attitude. And he wrote home this telegram, and it said this, send more shoes, prospects everywhere. You see, the one saw there was no hope. But the other saw prospects everywhere. Tell me, which one's you? When you're going out sowing the seed of the gospel, friend, are you expecting God to move? Are you expecting God to work? You know, the Lord has given you an assignment. He says, go ye. And everyone in this church in Martin's Memorial this morning, let me tell you this. God has a work for you to do. I'll tell you how you get seats filled. You've got to go forth. Now, God hasn't sent you to Africa, friend, but God has sent you to Belfast. And if you couldn't go forth in Belfast, there's no use you going to Africa. And some people have got this, you know, there's only people who are missionaries, there's only people called of God if they're away out there in a foreign field. Let me tell you, you're called of God to serve Him here. Go ye. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said to His disciples? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Listen, Philip had an assignment. And he was in the midst of a revival in Samaria, and I'm sure he wanted to stay. And God says, listen, go out into the desert. And there's a man in a chariot there. And he was reading the scriptures, and the Holy Ghost says to him, Philip, join yourself to it. That day that man could see it. Whenever Saul of Tarsus could see a friend, what was the first question that he asked the Lord? He says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? You notice what he said? Lord, what do you have me to do? And friend, it's very easy for you to talk about somebody else doing a work around this place. But what about you? What about you? Because you see, it's not the elders, and it's not just the committee. Friend, it's everyone. We're laborers together with Him. And that's what you are. Every child of God is saved to serve. There are things that I cannot do, but you can. There are people that I will never meet, but you can. And you will. Would you go forth sowing the seed of the gospel with hope and expectancy, believing that God will honor the sowing of the seed? What did the prophet say? He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. And you know what many of God's people do today is this, and I'm talking about right across Free Church. Those who know and love Jesus Christ as their Savior, they say, here am I, Lord. Send somebody else. Not willing to work. And I'll tell you this. If you're willing to put your shoulder to the wheel, friend, and if you're willing to do what you can for Jesus, God will bless your efforts for the glory and the honor of His name. He says, he that goeth forth. Listen, there's the going. Secondly, notice the groaning. Because it says here, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. And I want you to notice this man as he sows the seed, friend. And he drops the seed into the ground. But there's something else that's dropping into the ground, as well as the seed. There's a tear. There's a tear. You see, he's sowing the seed with love and compassion and a brokenness. And he unites the blessed seed with his tears. What a combination. Then there's something that needs to happen in our hearts, and it's this. Not only do we need to get back the joy,
But we need to lose the hardness. There's many of God's people, friend, and they're hard-hearted. And they've lost the softness. They've lost the compassion. They've lost the passion and compassion for souls. Whenever the Lord Jesus looked upon the multitudes, the Bible says He was moved. He was moved with compassion. The Savior's heart was breaking over the lost. I'm not talking about emotionalism, friend. I'm not talking about the working up of the flesh. But I am talking about a broken heart for the lost. Many years ago, the story is told that the Salvation Army was holding a convention. And the morale at that time was very low, and the organization had come to rock bottom. And they didn't know what to do. And they sent a telegram to William Booth, the founding father of the Salvation Army, asking the old man for advice of how they could get back onto their feet. And William Booth sent back a telegram with two words: try tears. Try tears. And friend, God worked on their hearts, and God broke their hearts for sinners. What about you and me? When was the last time that our prayer meeting was broken with tears? When was the last time that God's children cried with a broken heart? Friend, I'm not talking about a show. I'm not talking about hypocrisy. I'm talking about real tears. When was the last time that even parents cried to God for their children? And their children may be getting jobs and they might be going to the heights of society, friend. But what about their soul? Where are they going there? And the world may be falling at their feet, but I'll tell you this. One day they'll fall on the earth. And they'll be carried down in a coffin and taken to a grave, but their soul will go to God's eternity. And if they die without Christ, they'll be in hell forever. When was the last time you cried over a soul going to hell? Jesus did. Jesus looked at that city of Jerusalem. I can see him sitting there on the Mount of Olives, a place that God has privileged me to visit on many times. And as he sat there on the Mount of Olives and he looked over that city of Jerusalem, friend, city of privilege, a city of blessing, he said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how oft would I have gathered thee as a hen gather her brood under her wings. But ye would not." And he says this, that he wept. He wept. Do you and I do that, friend, over the lost? Precious souls that are going out to God's eternity that will never return. Are we broken? "He that goeth forth and weepeth, loving the sinners." And I pray that God will deal with my heart and deal with your heart, friend, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. That God will take away the hardness. God will take away the bitterness. God will take away the anger. And you know, sometimes we're hurt by life. Many times we are. People let us down. But friend, you've got to go on. You've got to go on. You can lie down in bitterness. You can lie down in anger and say, "Well, listen, well, I'm not going to do anything more in the Lord's work because this happened, that happened." Friend, listen, it has happened in the past. Didn't it happen to our Savior? Yet the Bible says this, he set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. Nothing was going to stop him. Do you know why? Because he loved you and me. And he went to the cross and he shed his precious blood that a rebel sinner like me would be saved for all eternity. I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me. A sinner condemned, unclean. Sowing the seed, friend. Sowing it with a broken heart. Longing for a harvest. Is that the way you and I are living? Longing for a harvest. And knowing, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Knowing that except God intervene, knowing that except God revive us, except God stir us, except God take the word and use it for his honor and glory. Friend, all would fail. There's the going, and then there's the groaning, and then there's the giving. Look at verse 6 again, very quickly. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed. Bearing precious seed. You see, you and I are not going out to present ourselves. You and I are not going out to promote ourselves. But you and I are sowing precious seed. It's the word of the living God. And I'll tell you, the more you get into this book, and the more you search this book, the more you love this book. Because this is a precious book. It's the precious word of God. And remember this, friend. That as you sow that seed, it is precious. It's the living word. It's a regenerating word. It is a sustaining word. It is an assuring word. It is a powerful word. You are bearing something very precious. You're carrying words of life. You see, the seed is born. Born to be planted. Born to be scattered along the way. You see, a seed of itself is insignificant and small. I don't know whether how many of you have ever sown it. And I remember my dad sowing seed when I was a child. And friend, it was just so small. And he slipped through your fingers. And of itself it was insignificant. Of itself it is so small. But oh, the power that's in that seed. That seed contains life-giving power to multiply when it's planted. You've got to plant the seed. And I pray the Lord today with all my heart that the folks here in Marge Memorial will get up in God's name, friend. And God will give you heart, and God will give you encouragement, and God will give you backbone, and God will stir you and give you a fresh vision for the future. And get up and take the seed of the Word of God, and as you're going, sow the seed. Sow the seed. Give the Word of God. The seed is the Word of God. Now, time's away. There's a last thought. You say to me, preacher, well, if I do that, but will anything happen? Well, let's read it. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing. Not bringing his seed with him. He's bringing his sheaves with him. Because God multiplied. And God turned that little seed. And God brought forth a sheaf. There's the garnering. Shall doubtless come again. My friend, this is the time of sowing. This is the time of sowing. And you've got to go. You've got to do it. Listen, every child of God must put their shoulder to the wheel. Every child of God must get up and leave despondency behind and leave, my friend, all the old things that the devil would sow in your heart and mind to discourage and leave them all behind. And in God's name, get up and go carrying seed, scattering it everywhere you go, the gospel seed. And as you go, there's not only the time of sowing, but thank God there's a time of reaping. Shall doubtless come again. You know what God says? My word shall not return unto me void. It shall prosper. You say, preacher, have you ever sown seed? Yes, friend. And didn't see soul saved? Yes. Many times a seed has been sown, but I'll tell you this, friend. I remember this. It's God that gives the increase. I remember this, that salvation is of the Lord. I can't save them. Praise God, He can. And there have been many times I've sown the seed, friend, and I thought nothing was happening. I think of a man who came to our church away back near the very beginning. His mother brought him. I had the joy of leading his mother to the Lord. And friend, this man was as faithful, more faithful to the congregation, to this preacher, than anybody else could be. When anything was being done around the church, he was there. But he wasn't saved. He sat 10, 20, 30 years. It just seemed as if the seed was dropping. On hard ground, nothing happened. Over 30 years, well over 30 years had passed. Still unsaved. And the amazing thing was this. Whenever we would hold a gospel mission, and when many of God's people didn't bother their heads, he would come to me and he said to me, Mr. McRae, I'll do my local town with the leaflets. And he had put the invitation for the gospel mission. He wasn't saved. He had put them in through the doors. And when it come to our harvest thanksgiving service, and we put out leaflets for the harvest thanksgiving service, he says, listen, I'll do the town. His local town. Many of God's people were sick. And there he was, an unsaved man, putting the leaflets in through the door. Did not see him. My heart was breaking for him. Just over two years ago, wee incident happened in his life, and I was going on holidays, and the Lord laid in my heart just to go to see him before I went on holidays. And I remember going in on the Friday night, and we were going on the Monday on holidays, and I went on the Friday night to him and see him and live on his own, and I read the scriptures, and we talked together, read the scriptures, I prayed, and expounded. I remember reading Isaiah 53. He was wounded for our transgressions. Cross. And I prayed, and I was just getting up to go, and he said to me, Mr. McRae, I need to talk to you. He says, you know, one night you were preaching. And he says, I can't get away from that sermon. And it just won't leave me. And friend, that night I led him to Jesus Christ. Get gloriously saved. Now I preached that sermon that night and I thought nothing happened. But God planted the seed. I sowed it. But God planted and God watered it. And brought forth abundantly. You see, farmers know this. That you don't sow the seed today and expect the harvest tomorrow. Don't work that way. But you sow it with patience. You sow it in love. You sow it with expectancy. You sow it with hope. And you wait patiently for the harvest. Friend, the harvest will come. But you have a job to do. I didn't say somebody else's job. I said every one of you. It's all right singing the hymn, "Work for the Night is Coming," as long as somebody else is doing the work. Every child of God is saved to serve. I'll leave you this with what Talmage wrote. When I am dying, how glad I shall be that the lamp of my life has been blazed out for thee. I shall not worry whatever I gave in time and money, one soul to save. I shall not worry that the way has been rough, that thy way was enough. When I am dying, how glad I shall be that the lamp of my life has been blazed out for thee. A pastor was visiting a church member one day who was dying. He professed faith in Jesus Christ for many years. And the old man looked up to the pastor and he says, "Pastor, I'm not afraid to die. He says, "Pastor, I'm ashamed to die." I'm ashamed. For God left me on earth to reach others. And I take no one with me. Not one sheep. You can sing the hymn, friend. Will there be any stars in my crown? Tell me, will you doubtless come again rejoicing, carrying your sheep? Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the privilege of sowing the seed, the gospel seed. We thank thee for the privilege of being saved today. To be in the family of God, to know that we're a child of the King, that we'll never perish, that none shall ever pluck us out of thine hand. But Lord, you've saved us to serve. And I pray in Jesus' precious name that each and every one of us, from the preacher in the pulpit to the people down in the pew, that you'll give us a fresh vision, that you'll give us fresh zeal, fire and love and compassion. You show us, Lord, today that sowing the seed is not for somebody else. It's for us. We're saved. And everywhere we go, we need to sow this seed. Help us, our God, not to do it with a hard heart. But Lord, let us not only drop the seed, but drop the tears. Goeth forth and weepeth. And then will come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Separate us with thy blessing today. Please God, keep us in thy fear and put upon us thy favor. Make every child of God a soul winner. And for those who are not saved, save them from their sin. Save them from hell. Lord, save them now. In Jesus' precious name. May God bless His word to all our hearts, for Jesus' sake. And if there is someone wants to, or a precious soul that's not saved and you want to come to Christ, then we're here as God's servant. Please do not go away without the Lord. There's no better day than today. May God bless you.